Not Kabayim.
Kabayim.
Politically correct. All right, this is the third segment about my community. And as I said at the beginning, I hope it not only will create controversy around this table, which I think we all agreed already did, but rather it will also go ahead and create a system in which you're going to think about who we are, what we stand for, in order to see what our place is within Klal Yisrael. And that, I think, is the main objective that at least I've set in front of ourselves for this year. To think about who we are, without apologetics, without saying we're better than this, but rather who we are. And I wanted this morning to talk about something that we touched on Sunday, but we only touched on. And that's the following aspect of my community. In my opinion, one of the things that's unique about Klal Yisrael is that there has never been a Torah ideal that we all be alike. Let me say that again, I just stuttered. There's never been a Torah ideal that we all be the same. As a matter of fact, from the beginning of time, though we all came from Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu couldn't just be 12 sons of one man. Namely, they have the same last name. They all connect to the same father. But rather, what are they called in our tradition? Shvatim. Tribe. And you may say, well, that's a fancy name for kids, but it isn't a fancy name for kids. This has halachic ramifications. Leads me to believe that it's l'chatchila. Let me give you two. Number one, do you remember the Kohen Gadol? We talk about him a lot on Yom Kippur. So as we're getting close to Yom Kippur, it'd be a good idea to talk about the Kohen Gadol and what we're missing. What did the Kohen Gadol wear amongst his eight special clothing on his heart? No, you remember the pasuk in Parsha Tetzaveh, the Hayu Alei V'Aron, what's it called? Urim V'Tumim. How many stones did the Urim V'Tumim have? 12. And it was like this magical part of the Kohen Gadol's clothing, in that without a battery, if there was a problem in one of the Shvatim, it would light up. So the Kohen Gadol, as he does his work in the Beit HaMikdash, wearing the Begadim, and we all know that without the Begadim, the Kohen Gadol cannot work in the Beit HaMikdash, he comes in, and he must wear the 12 Shvatim on his heart. In other words, this is not v'di'eved, oh, he had 12 kids that are different from one another, but l'chatchila, the Kohen Gadol must wear it on his heart. Let me give you a second proof that it's l'chatchila. Now out of the desert, they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. They finished capturing the land. Yehoshua spent 7 years capturing most of the land at least. And now we have to divide it up so everyone has a place to live. They lived in Gilgal for those 7 years, and now they're going to go disperse themselves around the land of Israel. How does he divide up the land? What does he say? Finkelstein over here, Goldberg over there. Shvatim, correct. Now you may say again, b'di'evet, Yecheskel HaNavi says that, God willing, in the future, in the times of the redemption, that's exactly what's going to happen again. In other words, the Shvatim, the differences, the uniqueness of each Shevet and each Jew being different from the other is not b'di'evet, but l'chatchila. And therefore, you all know that halachically, what bracha do we make when we see a lot of Jews together? The bracha we make, what's the bracha? Blessed be you, God, there's a lot of Jews. Anyone remember the bracha? Not really said. Jewish people together in one place, not fighting with each other, very hard to find. But it's in the Siddur. Now, what's the bracha? Sechas Brachos says that when you see Shishim Ribo, so many Jews together, you say, Baruch Chacham HaRazim, blessed be you God, who is the one that gave Chochmah, so many Chochmahs, to different people. In other words, there's different intelligences to different people. That's the bracha we make when we see a lot of Jews. In English, we would say, blessed be you God, who's made diversity. Who's made diversity within the Jewish people. And therefore, I don't believe that the differences between Jews in the way we dress, perhaps in the way we conduct our life, the kulos we take on the one hand and the chumras we take on the other, is b'di'evet. In my opinion, it's mamish l'chatchila. If it wasn't l'chatchila, then Chazal wouldn't say in another place, Geshem, She'ein, Partufehen, Domim, just like their faces are not the same, Kachem, finish, Makshamot Sehem, very good. Their thoughts, Bruce says, so too their thoughts are different. This leads me to one of the things that I personally am very proud of in our community. I was once on a bus, and I was talking to what we call today a Haredi Jew. And I have to admit that I don't think that there's so many differences between the Haredi world and what we call our world. And I think the differences are very minute and few. And I try to prove this point to myself every time I see a Haredi and I speak to him. I think that we have the same core values. Yirat Shamayim, Torah and Mitzvah. It's to raise a family that's going to continue this tradition. It's an achrayus for Am Yisrael. How that manifests itself, sometimes there's differences.
And I once heard Rabbi Frank say, 99% of the
newspapers. Yep, the 1% usually makes the papers. The 99% wouldn't sell newspapers. Today you don't even have to sell newspapers anymore. It's a bad mushel, because advertisements do that for us, and the newspapers are going to go. I just got an email yesterday saying Blockbusters is going to close in Canada, because there's no need for Blockbusters today with YouTube and all the rest of the wonderful things on the internet. But we have to find a better mushel for the what sells the newspapers. I don't know. What makes headlines, maybe. That would be a better mushel for the year 2011. What gets the most hits? Very nice. Very nice. Which Facebook is most watched?
Liked.
I hate that word, by the way. One day I'm going to give a whole lecture on the terminology of Facebook. I find very uneducational. Like. You like something that you like. You see it once in a blue moon. You like it? I don't know. Anyway.
No word like in here.
So just to play on as a devil's advocate, but if one's relationship to the importance of the state of Israel for secular learning, for the role of women, these are big issues. They're not the core of values in terms of one's day-to-day mitzvot. But these things, when you look at them, how they manifest themselves in day-to-day, are very dramatic.
I think that, having said that, the core values are the same. And what you're talking about are values that we're going to deal with around this table, but I don't necessarily pin them as core values. I don't think they're at the core of who we are, necessarily. They're the differences, but they're not the core of who we are. When we look at a mirror in the morning, I don't think we say, oh, thank God we go to college and we learn liberal arts with Chachila, and that's who we are. That's part of who we are. I'm proud of that's part of who we are, but I don't think that's the core value. Anyway, during this conversation, to get back to what I was saying, I mentioned to the gentleman that I find it problematic that every Haredi Jew dresses the same, because I don't see the differences between them. They all dress the same dress, and it's very hard to see the uniqueness of each Jew. And I quoted the Rav Soloveitchik to him, a part of Tselem Elohim, part of getting the divine image, is as follows. God is one. What does it mean, God is one? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What does one mean? Different Perushim. I don't know what article says, but unique. There's no one like this table I can equate to another table, because this table looks like this table. Right? This chair looks like that chair. But I can't equate God to anything else, because there's only one God. You can't say that God looks like. So therefore, if God gave us some of his image, then obviously we all around this table have something that the other person doesn't have. There's a uniqueness within us that the other person doesn't have. And each person knows and should try to know what his unique contribution could be to the world. I encourage you, especially in Elul, to read the Hakdama, or the first words of the Mesilat Yesharim, where the Mesilat Yesharim says, Yesodei HaYesodos, the fundamental of the fundamental of Judaism is, what would you say it was? I'd say Shabbos, Kashrus, Tarat HaMishpacha. Says the Mesilat Yesharim, what? Sheyeda kol echad, macho vato ba'olamo. Each person should know what his personal obligation is to the world around him. So I quoted this to this gentleman on the bus. Part of the uniqueness is that we all don't dress alike. Around this table, we are not dressing alike. So the Haredi gentleman says to me, no. He quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra, Tokei Sami Ben Inecha, you're giving me Musar. I can give you Musar right back. Oh, you guys wear kippot shrugot. So what's the difference? So we wear hats. You wear kippot shrugot. As he said in Hebrew, Oto Giveret, Bishinu Yaderet, same lady, different dress. So I looked at him with a smile and I said, you're correct. We all wear kippot shrugot. Then, this was like 10 years ago. Today it's not true anymore. But back then I said, yeah, we all wear kippot shrugot. However, sir, have you ever seen one kippah strugada looks like the other? Have you ever seen one kippah strugada look like the other kippah strugada? His is bigger.
I have more to cover.
His is bigger. You and me, we have less to cover.
I mean, more to cover up.
Yesterday I hosted in my program a gentleman who, when I was in Shana Aleph in Yeshiva, he went out to a shlichut in Community X, and then he went on to another shlichut in Community Y, and he just came back to Israel, I think it was 12 years later. And he looks exactly the same, like I remember him in Shana Aleph. So I introduced him by saying, when I looked at him this evening, I felt 20 years younger. Then I looked in the mirror and I said, oh my gosh, you lost that much hair, I can't believe it. And look at him, he looks exactly the way he's always been. So it's nice when you see someone from the past. So anyway, my hair that I used to have, yes, might encourage us to wear bigger kippahs. Anyway, it's part of life. Less the shampoo. Save money.
So we're going to get this one.
I don't know.
Embarrassing.
Gentlemen, I believe that's what we have to be proud of as part of our community. There's many problems in our community. There's many challenges in every community. And as I said to you at the beginning of this series, if there was a community out there that had all the answers, I'd sign up. And if I have to wear a black hat or a strimal, I don't mind. They found the answers, I'm there. I went without challenges today. So don't think, Rabbi Singer, you have to run to buy a hat today. It's not happening. Not yet. You have one already.
Okay.
So do I. So do I. I have one in my machzan just in case. But gentlemen, I want to explain what I believe is what I think should be the way we have to think about this particular issue. A, diversity is lechatchila. It's not bidiyevet, and I showed you the proof from halacha and from agada. And therefore, the fact that we don't all look alike, the fact that we don't all think alike, the fact that within the community there's debate, the fact that within the community there happens to be this built-in diversity, and it manifests itself in dress, in jobs we take, and many other things, I think it's lechatchila. There was 12 shvatim, and that's going to continue. Having said that, I believe in what I said when we started this session, and that is that we will all go and face this with the same books under our arms. If we go into a room and there's a halachic shayla with regard to something on Shabbos, can you shut off something, can you put on something, then if 10 rabbis go into the room from the so-called modern Orthodox community, I would like to see them all go in with the same books under their arms, be it a Shulchan Aruch, a Torah, a Beis Yosef. The fact that they may come up with 10 different answers doesn't bother me as much as that they all go in with the same tradition. And therefore, even though diversity, I believe, is lechatchila, we have to be very careful that that diversity is within the system and not without the system. Namely, it's diversity within the same. We have the same core values. It's Torah, it's Yiras Shamayim, it's Shmiras Shabbos. How does that manifest itself when it comes to a plata on Shabbos? Might be different answers. And let's take that example for a moment. The plata on Shabbos. This new invention called plata. How do we define... I'd like to see 3 rabbis go into the room with the same books under their arms. A Tur, a Beis Yosef, a Shulchan Aruch, maybe a Shmira Shabbos Kihilchasa, because that became like the Shulchan Aruch of today. Or whatever it is. And they go into the room and they look at the plata. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, who went into that room, comes out and says, the plata could be used on Shabbos. You could put cold borekas on the plata on Shabbos morning from the refrigerator, no problem. He defines it as the best thing to use for Shabbos. All the dine shehiyah, hachzara, not relevant to the plata. Comes along another rabbi, say Rav Soloveitchik, and he says, there's a Ron in the name of the Yerushalmi that says that if you put the food on the plata Friday night, you can put it back Shabbos morning. So every Jew should go ahead and Friday night put all the food of the Shabbos on the plaza for candle lighting time, take it off after it's dark, put it in the refrigerator Shabbos morning, that can return it to the plaza. And then comes a third Jew and says a plaza is like a blech, it's the same thing, and you gotta, on Shabbos, you gotta do all the dine hachzara, and if you don't want to do the dine hachzara, you gotta take an empty pot or a full pot and only warm it on top of that. They all went into the room with the same book, but they came out with three different answers. But what, in my opinion, fascinates me is that within our community, and excuse me for the self-gratification, because I'm trying in these series to go from self-gratification once to bopping you over the head once, keeping a balance. So today we're going to do self-gratification, but Ezrat Hashem, by Sunday, we'll find something to bop us over the head with. What I love is that even if you do it this way, like Rav Moshe, and you do it that way, like Rav Uvadja, there isn't a peer pressure within our community that says to you, no, there's only one way to go, and that's the standard. And if you don't follow the standard, then you're beneath the standard, and we won't eat in your house. There's different hasherim, different views in halacha, different akpedas. The OU is not like the OK, which is not like the Chavk, which is not like the COR, which is not like the MK. The Badat is not like the Rabbanut, which is not like Mahadrin. But I never felt within our community a feeling that the diversity is b'di'evid, and therefore if you don't follow only the Mahadrin Ashkachas, you're already not on our level. You're sort of a Hamoin Ha'am. You're not part of the yeshivish crowd. And that I believe we can be proud of, because that's Selam Elohim in manifestation. That's Baruch HaCham HaRazim in practice. On one condition. That it's coming from within. That it's coming from the same book. That it's coming from the same tradition. That authentically you're looking at a situation and you ask yourself, what would the Torah want me to do now? With the Plata, with the Hechsherim, and it could be with the issues you brought up, Ruth, the women's status within a shul, within halacha, secular studies, whatever it is. If we start to put pressure on people that we all have to be the same, in my opinion, we can throw out all the proofs we said. When we read about the Shvatim in the Torah, we'll have to plug up our ears. And when we read about the diversity in the Machlokas, we'll have to pretend they're not there, because everyone has to be the same. If the Gemara is full of Machlokas, and the Poskim are full of Machlokas, and to this day people don't dress alike and think alike and act alike, then I have to admit that's lechatchila, on the condition that it comes from within and not from without. You have to be very careful, therefore, on two things. Number one, we have to ensure that that diversity is from within. And when someone goes out of the within and starts bringing proofs and ideas that are not necessarily from within, we have to be very careful not to accept it. And sometimes even scream and yell and say, you've passed the boundary. Whatever it might be. If we start saying that a half Shabbos is another legitimate point of view, then I'm as far from this community as I am right now from saying Kiddush Levana on the moon. You know what half Shabbos is? Many Orthodox kids today, and it's apparently not just one or two, it's a fashion, text to each other on Shabbos, send SMSs. In America it's called text, in Hebrew it's called SMS. I taught you a Hebrew word, Rabbi Singer. You can pay me more now. SMS in Hebrew, text in English. Why do they do it? Yeah, it's all across. So they say, mommy and daddy are not looking. It doesn't make noise. It's not outright Chilul Shabbos. It's in my room. No one looks. It's over there. And therefore, what's the big deal? If that is part of my diversity, then we're in trouble. And we have to scream and yell, that's Chilul Shabbos, period. No ifs, ends, and buts. How we deal with it, there might be different ways of dealing with it. But to go along and say, well, that's just another legitimate point of view within this wonderful world called modern Orthodoxy, centrist Orthodoxy, religious Zionism, then we're in trouble. Oh, we'll get to that. We haven't gotten there yet. Who decides? We'll get there. And finish the sentence. When there is diversity within halacha, within the camp, within the framework, and in my opinion, that's the biggest blessing of our community. We're not living in a boring world. People are different. And the bracha that we say on Shishim Ribo Yisrael should be the bracha we continue to say. And therefore, I think it's a bracha that there is diversity. And the peer pressure is not there on those particular issues. We dare not say on a legitimate point of view in halacha, you're a koifer. You're not bekoifer. You're going against tradition. You're not in the standard. You're not yeshivish enough. You're not b'nei Torah enough. I don't think that should be the terms. If it's a legitimate point of view within the halachic system, then it's a legitimate point of view. What makes a legitimate point of view? Who decides? We'll get there, Bezrat Hashem, but it can't be today. Yeah, Rabbi.
I agree 100% with that verse.
Look, I live here in Efrat, you're right. I don't live in America. I visit, I see, I'm influenced. I send shlichim around the world, including to the United States and Canada. And I definitely think that what you're bringing up, namely, are we losing the battle or gaining the battle, is a very important question that we'll have to deal with from a sociological point of view, and also from a real community point of view. How do we feel? However, I'd like to answer your pinpointed dilemma about the dress in two different ways. And I'd say as follows. I'll give you the equation I live with. We're living in a very interesting world in which the ability to get to preachers, which was once upon a time something hard to get to, is extremely easy. I mean, if you wanted once upon a time to see preachers, you wanted to read preachers, you had to go to a specific newsstand and buy it. Now, even that, forget it, Bruce, you don't want to know. Even that was a certain investment on your part. You have to get out of your house, walk around the corner, if that's where the newsstand was, pay for a magazine, and bring it home. It wasn't as accessible as it is today. So for you to get to preachers and be involved in preachers would mean you really wanted to do it, because you had to make that investment of time and effort and money. Today, with the help of the internet, and the internet's on your smartphone, so you can be anywhere in the world, not connected to your home, and it's right there. If this is the world we're living in, and a person feels that in order for him to stay a Torah Jew, he needs external dress, be it a hat, a white shirt, black pants, or whatever, I say, Ben Omar Amen, and I'm finished. Because if that's what he believes he needs, then that's what he needs. Just like a chachamim made gzeiras in order to keep us away. One second, hold on, let me finish. I have to finish the equation though. There's another side to it. Then just like chachamim made gzeiras, we can make our own gzeiras on ourselves. However, if you're wearing that dress because you feel you have to fit in with a certain crowd, then I believe it goes against the very core of our tradition that we are diverse, we were supposed to be diverse, and we will be diverse. And if the Sfardim, and many of them don't deal with the issue of, well, I'm very vulnerable to preach this, I wear this, or I feel personally I need an extra guard on myself, they do it because their neighbor is doing it, or they want a certain shidduch, then I'm as far from it as possible. And therefore, when I look at a base medrash as you did, and I don't see a blue shirt or purple shirt or whatever, I always ask myself, why? If it's because they made a cognitive decision that they personally need it, say it. I don't need it, you do need it, you said it. I need a suit and tie, you need this. But on the other hand, if they do it to fit the crowd, then I think that's totally wrong. And then what you said, Rabbi Singer, would bother me 10 times more. So look, everyone looks alike. It's sickening. It's boring. It's not diversity. It's not Shtei Mesrei Shvatim. I mean, I'm just wondering, what's going to happen when The Beit HaMikdash is Bezrat Hashem built, and the Kohen Gadol is going to wear the Urim V'Tumim. What's going to be on it? There'll be what? According to that thinking, there'll be one stone? Yeshivish? Can't be. So therefore, I always ask myself that question. Am I quick to say right away it's the second and not the first? On the other hand, I think we have to be very aware.
But you just accepted the uniform dress as a guard against
whatever
it may be.
No, I didn't accept
it. That's exactly the Haredi position. They dress like that, number one, because they don't want to put emphasis on the materialism. They do it that way because
you know how much the hat costs?
The Torah is going to act a certain way as opposed to somebody else.
Okay.
So, then what's wrong with
it? I'll say, I didn't say I accept the point of view, meaning I don't think that's the way to mechanech people to not to be vulnerable to priesthood. However, I can understand the point of view if that's what they feel they need. I don't necessarily personally think that if you ask me, how do you educate your children to open an internet, and I'm not talking about internet Rimon that's 10 times filtered, the open internet, I don't think the way to do it is put on a black hat, put on a suit, let your tits dangle out, and everything's going to be fine. I don't believe that's chinuch. And I don't believe that's the way for us to ensure that it won't happen. My proof, I can give you 10 proofs of people in the Haredi world that are vulnerable to preachers, and the biggest pornography in the world. Unfortunately, my wife's a divorce lawyer, and many of the cases she dealt with started with that, and it came from the smartphone. It didn't come from anywhere else. I don't think that's the way to do it, personally. If a Rebbe came to a conclusion that because the smartphone is so vulnerable to priests and therefore the way to mechanech the Jewish people is don't have smartphones, and he believes practically that's going to happen, hatzara, his declaration is going to help, okay, that's a point of view. I respect it. I understand it. You ask me practically? The minute a rabbi says don't, the people do. And quite frankly, if the rabbi says don't and the peer pressure don't, and at least externally people are listening, I'm not so sure that's what they're doing in the privacy of their own home. And look, if the half Shabbos is because I don't bother anyone, it's my own room, then alachat kama vechama with a phone. You don't have to be in public for your phone. You can go into the washroom and do what you want. No one's going to look. I don't think that's the way to mechanic to preach it. And therefore, I personally come on record many times, and I was attacked for this, and I continue to be on record, that I don't believe that we should have filtered internet. Because I have a notion, practically, that if it doesn't come through your house, it will come through your neighbor's house. If it doesn't come through your neighbor's house, it will come through your phone. If it doesn't come through your phone, it will come through your friend's phone. I mean, you can't filter it all out. It's impossible. So what you need to do is mechanech people, with chinuch. And I think the chinuch shinuch, one lesson, it has to be repeated 10 times throughout the year, one lesson. Looking at that is beneath you. Looking at that is beneath you. Not halacha said, lo tatzur achel lovchem achreinichem. All those are proofs. The bottom line is, it's beneath the dignity of a Jew to look at those sites. Now, does it happen overnight? Yira Shamayim, I think, is a lifelong pursuit, quest. Not something that you can do overnight. And yes, teenagers may fool. But as Rabbi Lam once said, and I loved it, he says, how do you gain a sense of judgment? You make mistakes. That's part of life. A baby fools sometimes. So there's a big debate within child psychologists. If you see a baby beginning to walk, and you see they're about to fall, okay? Because they're losing their balance or they don't know their balance. Do you save them? I'm not saying fall and kill themselves. They're going to fall and get a little macabre. Do you save them, or do you let them fall, so ultimately, next time they'll be careful to keep their balance?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going more to the point of minor orthodoxy. You take even with the name NYU. They have a certain surah, they have a certain dress. What are the Talmidim supposed to think if the you don't see Rebbein the diversity?
I find it very problematic, if you ask me, and therefore I say, I'm proud that that's not the case here, where I'm living in Israel. I believe that the so-called religious Zionist community, which by the way has inner diversity there, from Chardali to Emanei Torah Avodah, you can find everyone under the moon. If you looked at the recent controversy in Israel with regard to what the quantity of secular studies should be within our school system versus the Kodesh studies, you could see the diversity right there, and many other examples. The bottom line is that I don't feel in our community that any two are being dressed up. As to what happens in America, America is Golos, which is not Eretz Yisrael, which has many ramifications to it. Yes. And so we're still in Golos, but physically we're in Eretz Yisrael. In America, they're in Golos like we are. We're all still in Golos. There's no Mashiach yet in the streets of yet. And yet, we're in Eretz Yisrael. So something changed. We have to acknowledge that. Having said that, I don't feel comfortable many times to comment on America because I'm not living it. I'm not living it day in, day out. I visit. I hear. And everything I'm hearing is hearsay. But if you ask me ideally, should every Rebbe look alike? My answer will be a flat out no. Not every Rebbe should look alike. Not every two Rebbe should talk alike. And if the jargon is going to be the same, it's going to be problematic. I grew a beard. I didn't have a beard my whole life. Trimmed, but I have a beard. The reason I have a beard is not because of halachic reasons or Jewish reasons, but okay. Again, every little tofah that you're bringing up should bother us, and we have to think about it. The dress, the beard, whatever, the certain kippahs, the hats. You have to judge it at face value and know it. So I feel personally uncomfortable talking about other places because I don't know it. In Israel, I know. So I'm telling you that in Israel, in the community, I see the diversity and I'm proud of it. I wouldn't be proud of everyone looking alike or talking alike, and therefore I'm very careful to say that if you ask me, ideally, should everyone look alike? The answer is, in my opinion, no. However, as I said, the sakana is when it comes outside the system, like they have Shabbos. When it was in the system, I'm okay. Yeah, Bruce.
The only places that have less than Orthodox Jews are Baltimore, and here, with a little break in the public a few years. But the issue of the dress doesn't, I think it's a little bit silly because it's basically peer pressure. People do based on peer pressure because it's peer pressure and it's pressure.
So here we are today saying that the peer pressure shouldn't divert you from core Torah values.
I was going to say that the thing that's more important, the thing that I noticed is more involved, which had also Haredi-ish and the other camp also, was in the more Haredi-ish that I noticed as an outside observer, people I know about, was the emphasis on learning was much stronger than the Haredi camp. Who liked it, who did it.
Okay, so here we're going to...
And there were some halakhic, asked more questions. They had a rav, they followed a rav. They had one person, and then I think it was Pratt, I think it was Magdi, so it was Baltimore, and the Haredi of the camp. They didn't ask too many questions. If they had a question, they might question shop. Because really, if you want to ask about the plaza, what do you want to do? I'll ask this rav because he'll give me the answer to make my life happy.
Okay. And we're going to have to deal with what you brought up with regard to learning Torah. That's on my list of flopping us over the head. We'll get there.
The rabbinic authority question. Who's the rabbi? How much are they going to follow?
That's another question. Rabbinic authority in the year 2011. Okay, there is peer pressure, I acknowledge. There's a certain dress code in certain places, but no two jackets look alike. I think we're living in a world today where the jacket has to look the same as my neighbor's.
I'm saying that if you want the Haredi community, and everyone's wearing white and black, you're not going to come up with 95% of people.
That's my problem. That's my problem.
Is that a problem?
I think that's a huge issue. I think it's a huge issue, yes. No. I think that part of being a Torah Jew sometimes is to remember when Avraham Avinu was called. Avraham ha-Ivri. In English we say Avraham the Hebrew. Hazal didn't interpret Ivri as Hebrew. They said the whole world was an Eber Echad and he was an Eber Hasheni. Ayin, Vav, Reish. Yes, sometimes, and this can be that way, and that can be this way, we have to sit around this table in the morning in a prop and ask ourselves, what are our values? And I just brought up an issue of dress. So maybe until now you may have said, not a big deal. I personally do think it's a big deal. And what Rabbi Singer brought up, if it's for the reason, not the first reason, but the second, by it.
I mean, you're only picking one aspect that can go on the wall. You can't do a lot of other things. You know, they can't walk into a club dressed in that because it'll feel funny.
You'd be surprised.
As a rule.
You'd be surprised.
For those accepted. But
they can always change their clothes.
But they would have to. They have to walk out of the house or something.
I think clothing is very important in halacha. The way you dress sometimes shows who you are. I believe that if everyone dresses alike, then the diversity is out, and then we're going to become a boring nation.
And what? That all goes hard in a negative way.
I think so. Because then the diversity is gone. Because you have to dress like him, and if you don't, you'll say I'm not there yet. And that I feel like very, very, very problematic. What do you mean you're not there yet? Where do you need to be? You need to be aware. You need to be at a level of Torah and Yiras Shamayim and Shmiras HaMidot and Shmiras HaMitzvot. Great. Or is the level what they look like? And if what they look like is the level you want to get to, then I'm very bothered by it. And if it's the level of their kashrut, again, if you say that's the level I want to be at, I learned the sugya, I asked my rabbi, great! But if you say I have to do it because my neighbor's doing it, where is that a value in Judaism? There's lo tachmod beit reyecha. Don't be jealous of your nature, of your neighbor. So now you're jealous of his halachic behavior? That's the reason you're going to change? Mean something positive? I sign on the dotted line. Absolutely, a beautiful medrash by Kriyas Yamsuf. Yes.
But it's a medrash.
Not only is it a medrash, it's a few midrashim. Not only is it a few midrashim, it's very widely quoted. And not only is it very, it's not in the pshat, correct, but this is the, you could say this is not the pshat of Kriyas Yamsuf, but you could say this is what Chazal believe, this is what Chazal believes is at the core values of Judaism. After they cut, they wrote this medrash.
But you're not equating today's Chazal with that day's Chazal.
Why?
In that day's Chazal thought that everyone should be diverse. Today's Chazal think that everyone should be...
Why does today's Chazal think everyone should be homo the same? Why?
Because today's rabbi will make right of one, everyone into that.
Again, that's why I said, I don't want this to be a debate. Why are we different from that? I want to see who we are to do.
Right,
and therefore, when you say, well, the other rabbi said differently, you can ask them.
Right.
You say, here, I was sort of sheer and this and that. I believe this is what Judaism wants of us, diversity within the system. As to why they're saying otherwise, I really would encourage you have to ask them.
Do you really think that like one of their questions is going to be, why did you guys work out alike?
Yeah.
Everyone, one of the guys
is
going to say, why did you guys
dress
alike?
Yeah. When we give a cheshbon nefesh on Rosh Hashanah, Bezrat Hashem, before Kisei HaKavod, then we have to ask ourselves those fundamental questions. And part of the fundamental questions are questions that, who are you? What do you stand for? What is at the core of your value? I think it's a very, very, very important aspect of the cheshbon hanefesh that we're going to make to ourselves and before Kodesh Baruch Hu. Absolutely. And if you're going to say, well, every single day in your life you went out of your house with a hat and a cap, why? If your answer is, I believe in Atifas HaRosh, I believe in this Maimar Chazal, that my neighbor dressed that way, you think that's an acceptable answer? What would you give it on a test? Incomplete and best.
I think the key is really that one of the diversity.
I think you're absolutely correct. That's right. That's right. Yeah. By the way, this is not the tolerance in the negative, it's tolerance in the positive. We are tolerant of diversity. That's the key. And that, I think, we could be very happy with ourselves and who we are. Now, not perfect, but on that issue, I'm happier for we are. I never felt here when I saw different kinds of coverings of hair. And by the way, legitimate points of view with Allah. If you learn the sugya and ksubas as to why a woman that's married has to cover her hair, you can understand the nafkamina would be how much she needs to cover. I think there's never been a peer pressure. Like that, you're not part of us. That's the beauty. Absolutely. Diversity within the same, we have what to be proud of. Shkaya.